Welcome, everyone, to Ask the Pastor. Once again, thank you for tuning in. And the purpose of this podcast, this YouTube page, is to give biblical answers to life's daily questions. And so I want to thank you so very much for all the questions that have been submitted. And I'm thankful for the thoughtfulness of the questions, because some of these really aren't easy to answer. But I'm going to do my best. So you keep it up. Continue to encourage other subscribers. Please share the Ask the Pastor podcast and YouTube page. Thank you very much. Another question that I would like to answer today is, what is the significance of the right hand in Scripture, the right hand of God? So, for example, the Bible quotes, "He will be your shade at your right hand." So the question is what does the right hand of God represent in Scripture? Well, first of all, the right hand is the hand of authority. Okay, it's the hand of authority. The Bible talks about Jesus being at God's right hand. It's the right hand. It's the place of authority. Isaiah says this. I'm going to quote from Isaiah 41:13. "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not. I'm the one who helps you." So God is at the right hand. God holds the right hand. God is in the place of authority. But it also represents not only the place of authority, but the hand of blessing. Often in the Old Testament, when the patriarchs would bless their children, they would place their right hand on them and bless them. And even when the Bible refers to God's right hand, it's not only the hand of authority, it's the hand of blessing. It's also the hand of strength. I'll quote from Exodus 15:6, says, "Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy." Also in Exodus 15:12, "You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them." And so the right hand is the hand of strength. Also, it's the hand of sovereignty. The right hand is God's way of saying that he is the sovereign one. He is the one in control. And just like Jesus sitting at the right hand of God, he too is the sovereign one. And so just to recap just for a moment, it's the hand of sovereignty. It's also the hand of blessing. It's the hand of strength. And it's the hand of authority. Now, specifically to answer your question, you quoted the verse, "He will be your shade at your right hand." He will be your shade at your right hand. Well, that's saying that God's going to be the one who protects you. He's going to be the one. He's the one who has authority over your life. And so the right hand is also the hand of protection. The things I shared with you was not an exhaustive list. It was just meant to give you an understanding. So it's the hand of protection. It's the hand of provision. It's the hand of strength. It's the hand of authority. It's the hand of blessing. And so all those things are all consumed within that idea of at the right hand. And so I pray that answers your question, okay? This person has a question about, you know, when the word regret is used in the Bible to describe God, or words like God changed his mind. This person says, first question, in Luke 2:52, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and favor with God. Here's this question. How can Jesus increase in wisdom when he was fully God and all-knowing? Great question. You have to remember, not only was Jesus fully God, he was also fully man. So Christ, as fully God, of course he was omniscient and knew all things. But in his humanity, he chose not to exercise that divine prerogative. God didn't give up his omniscience. Jesus did not give up his omniscience. He still had it. He just chose not to use it in his humanity so that he could understand our weaknesses as well. So Jesus grew in wisdom and stature with man. Yes, in his humanity, but not in his deity. Okay? Second question this individual has. 1 Samuel 15:11 and other passages say, "I regret that I made Saul king." And so he has a question about those type of terms being used to describe God.
if God is all-knowing and all-powerful, then why does God have regret? Why does God change his mind? And this is, both of these questions that these individuals have asked are questions that are very important, and they're questions that people ask all the time. So let me answer it. The word regret in the Bible to describe God is known as, and this is a big theological word, I know it, but it's known as anthropomorphic language. Anthropomorphic language. An anthropomorphism is when a human term is used to describe God. Now, the Bible tells us that God is spirit. And remember, Jesus Christ himself did not become flesh until his incarnation at his birth. So the Bible tells us that God is spirit. But yet, when we read the Bible, human terms are used to describe God. In Proverbs 9:18, it talks about God having ears. In Isaiah 52:25, it refers to God as having hands. Genesis 3:8, it refers to God as having feet. Genesis 2:3, it says God takes a rest. Well, God's spirit. He doesn't have ears. He's spirit. He doesn't have hands. He's spirit. He doesn't have feet. God is spirit. He doesn't need to take rest. But yet, those things in the Bible are used to describe God. When human language is used to describe God, it's known as anthropomorphic language. And the purpose of anthropomorphic language is to help us who are finite to have a better understanding of God who is infinite. So yes, the word regret is an anthropomorphic term. God really doesn't have regret. God really doesn't change his mind. As you well said, God is omniscient. But that word is used to help us to have a better understanding of what God is doing. Our minds are limited. Our minds are finite. So the Bible uses that type of terminology for our understanding about God. But at the end of the day, God doesn't regret. God doesn't change his mind in the sense that he doesn't know what he's going to do before he does it. God always knows what he's going to do. And if he does change his mind, it's because he knew from eternity past what he was going to do. And he chose to use that type of language to help his readers understand what he's about. So anthropomorphic language. If you'd like to know more about that, just study it, anthropomorphic language in the Bible, and it'll help you to have a better understanding. Also, if you would like to do more study on the Sabbath versus Sunday, you can contact my office and we can give you some more information about that as well. God bless. Thank you for your questions. Please send them in and I'll answer them every week on Tuesday. God bless.